Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
Okay, so it's 3708, okay. Paper plastic.
So
plastic.
That's the magic word, green police. You picked the wrong day to mess with the ecosystem, plastic boy.
Battery.
Let's go, take the house.
Come on. Put the rind down. Sir, that's a compost infraction.
So yes, this is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric, and you know that song. Sorry, Bob, go ahead. You know that song. That was from the Audi folks who were trying to market clean diesel, right? And it turns out Audi and Volkswagen, the Farfrig-Nugen folks, were cheating on their clean diesel and polluting the heck out of the environment. Well, along with that same line of things, let's talk about Walmart. What's happening at Walmart? Well, they're suing Tesla Solar City. Why might they sue Tesla Solar City? Well, because they believe that Tesla engaged in widespread systematic negligence. Now, Walmart doesn't use Tesla vehicles. They use their solar panels. And they have suffered 7 roof fires thanks to these solar panels. Now, this has got to give you pause if you have a Solar City or a Tesla roof solar panel on your own personal roof, because Walmart has had 7 roof fires attributed to Tesla since 2012. And you don't want some you know, Weisenheimer like me walking up to you on the street and saying, "So how much money did you save on your electric bill before your house burned down?" You know, you don't want that to happen. So I'd recommend that you may want to have a third party take a look at your solar panels if you've had them up there for a while to see if they're installed properly. Because the folks at Walmart are saying Tesla didn't and actually systematically neglected their panels. They did. Walmart says Tesla's own inspections revealed a total of 157 action items requiring repairs or replacement of the components, 48 of which Tesla itself characterizes as reflecting conditions that render the sites unsafe or potentially unsafe. So this has been recently put out in the news, and we'll see what happens with the lawsuit. But Walmart wants their panels taken off all their stores. That's part of the suit, is to have Tesla come and remove these panels, because I guess they've been fighting about it for quite some time. And I think it should make you at least think about it. I mean, I hearken back to Volkswagen telling you your diesel's clean. And the green police, that great commercial, which was pretty funny, coming after you for your paper bags and your batteries, whatever you're using. And it turns out Volkswagen was polluting like crazy. Would be awful if your solar panel burned your house down. So just something to be thinking about, and make sure you have a third party, if there is a third party out there, that might come and see if they've put the panels on properly. In some cases, if you read some of these stories, even after they disconnected the panel because they were worried about it, you could see that the raw wires sparking months later. So you should be maybe a little more concerned. These things are not set it and forget it. These are power plants on your roof. And if the guy installing it was selling sneakers 30 days before, you should give you some pause. So I'll put the link up there for you guys, especially those folks who have Solar City or Tesla solar panels. You may want to take a second look to make sure they're safe. Walmart sure doesn't think they are. So what do you got, Bob?
Oh, I got one here that really I find creepy.
Oh, boy.
Amazon's Ring wants police to keep these surveillance details from you.
Wait a minute. Wait, Ring is the video doorbell.
Yes.
This is a longer article, Amazon's Ring video doorbell.
I'm just going to touch on a few parts of it.
Yeah.
Okay. In documents sent to police in Illinois, Ring informed officers what should not be shared with the public.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So the bottom line is that, well, police might be able to see throughout neighborhoods using Ring's video doorbells, but that transparency doesn't go both ways. Mm. In documents sent to police in Illinois, Amazon's Ring unit instructs officers on exactly what law enforcement shouldn't share with the public.
Oh, brother.
But through public documents and interviews with police, we're able to explain exactly what those features are.
Yikes.
Ring has partnered with scores of police departments across the country. Through the details of those relationships, though the details of those relationships are often limited.
Right.
For example, Ring still declines to provide the full number of police partnerships, leaving privacy advocates to figure out those numbers through public data requests, FOIA requests.
Wow.
Privacy researcher Shireas Girandura released a map showing every Ring police partnership he could find, totaling 250 as of August 19th.
Right.
So basically, they can use your Ring to surveil your neighborhood.
Right.
Or you.
So there's obviously there's some good, you know, if everything's great with the cops, you kind of like the idea that they could just kind of keep an eye on your neighborhood.
They have their own portal to be able to access your camera.
The other side of it is, did they tell you they were doing this when you signed up for Ring?
I think that's in the small print, you know, right. The 250-page microscopic print.
Well, the thing is, so this
nobody
is
reads.
These companies are so silly, right? If they actually marketed that, hey, when you buy a Ring doorbell from Amazon, we're going to hook you into your police department. At least you could use it as a marketing thing where the folks say, oh, I love that idea. I want to do that, right? Versus what you can and cannot tell the public about it, which is kind of creepy, right? So if they're not telling you about it, why? If they marketed it, that's great. None of these came fully informed that you're going to be working with your police department to surveil your neighborhood. It's the ultimate neighborhood watch, right, on steroids. And these are all high-definition cameras, so the cops will watch you mowing your lawn. They'll watch whatever's going on. But there's some good sides I can see to it as a homeowner and as a citizen that you'd want. It'd be a great way to help the police, but...
Okay, so it says...
Bob's not convinced.
The video request process happens through Ring's portal for law enforcement. Ring has been coaching police departments through webinars and emails on how to approach residents when they need footage, though, through the app. Officers are told to request footage through the portal.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ring provides a sample video request in its instructions to Bensenville Police.
Yep.
This is Bensenville, Illinois.
Yep.
Officers are told to request footage through the portal. The Ring provided sample video requests in its instructions to Bensenville Police. The sample asks for details on car break-in from a specific date and time.
Right.
Then asks residents to send any relevant footage to the police email address and phone number.
Right.
And a video request sent on July 11th from Bensenville Police, the department sought footage related to an investigation into car thefts on a particular neighborhood. It requested footage from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. on July 10th. The request didn't limit people to only send footage related to the request. Everything in that 10-hour range would be sent.
Right.
Documents showed.
Well, that's the other thing, too, right? So if you just use that issue, right, where all these kids are breaking into our cars in the neighborhoods and stealing our vehicles, they literally, here in Connecticut, they're out of that jail within like 5 minutes. I mean, if they're underage, which generally they are, here in Connecticut, we don't even know who did it. And these guys get released back into the public. So it's almost like if they're using that as an example where all of us are getting Ring doorbells to protect us from the Utes out here stealing our cars, is this one of those tail wagging the dog things here? If you just prosecuted these kids and threw them into juvie hall and said, enough of this, get off the streets, I think our problems would be lessened. But no, we throw them right back into the street and they come back and steal the next car. And now we're buying all these doorbells to surveil ourselves. So it's almost like, seems circular to me, Bob. I don't know about you. Just seems like we're buying this technology.
When they tell you not to tell the people who actually own the Rings about the features and capabilities that they're giving to a third party.
It's a little creepy.
That's 1984, if you don't mind my saying.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll put the links up here for you guys to read yourselves. Anything else you want to bring up, Bob?
Yeah, I got a couple of them here. I think it's pretty good. Amazon lists thousands of banned and unsafe items for sale investigations. I got a lot on Amazon today.
So Amazon itself has items that they've banned and other folks have banned, and they're still selling them on Amazon.
More than 4,000 items for sale on Amazon by third-party sellers have deceptive labeling or have been banned or declared unsafe by federal regulators, according to an investigation by the Wall Street Journal published Friday. Nearly half these items were listed as shipping from an Amazon warehouse, the journal said, and some were promoted as Amazon's choice.
Oh, my gosh.
Among the items identified in the investigation, at least 2,000 listings for toys and medications lacked warnings about risks to children, and at least 157 were items Amazon had said it had banned.
Wow.
According to the journal. After the listings were brought to e-commerce giants' attention, 57% were taken down or their wording changed, the journal said. This isn't the first time Amazon has been in the spotlight for problematic listings. In 2017, the company was criticized when it frequently bought together.
Feature.
Called out combinations of elements used in making crude bombs.
Oh, my gosh.
Earlier this month, listings for ammunition, clips, which is really not clips, it's magazines, for the uninformed, and boxes of bullets were uncovered on Amazon.
Wow.
The products are legal for online sale in the U.S., but violate the company's own seller guarantees.
Jeez.
The presence of these listings points to how vast Amazon's site has become. Its used inventory increases the chances that banned items can become available, even with Amazon's detection software and human monitors. And there's more.
Great.
But, you know.
So you can buy stuff that even Amazon bans on Amazon.
Well, you know what? I think the bigger you get,
the bigger the problem you are.
It's hard to be so granular.
Yeah.
You know, and have full
control. They're smarter than everybody, right?
They've got the algorithms. If it's legal commerce.
Right.
I don't have a problem with it.
If it's not illegal. All right, well, we'll step out for a quick break here, guys. Rich, Jerry, Ron, and Lori, you guys are on the line. Hang on. We'll take a quick break. If you happen to have a SolarCity solar panel, does a story about Walmart suing Tesla for 7 roof fires on its stores give you pause? We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And full board this morning, first thing in the morning. You guys are up early. On a beautiful day like today, which is awesome. Thank you. Let's go right to your calls. We're going to go to Rich in Glastonbury first. Morning, Rich.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Except I wouldn't be calling you if I was great.
Well, that's why we're here.
I know. You guys do a great job. I love the show.
Thanks.
All right. So I've got a small business, and actually I'm a physician, and so it's a very small business these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got an Ethernet wired system at the office connecting directly to the billing company.
All right.
So I believe it's all on a static address.
Yeah.
And connected to that, I put in a wireless access point so I could add wireless and hook up the Amazon Echo system.
Oh, okay.
So I could play music in each room.
All right.
Anyway, so it was connected apparently through a Cisco firewall.
Sure.
Which croaked. And so that left me with was nothing, no internet at all.
Right. So you couldn't do billing, you couldn't do ERP, and you couldn't get your music.
And I couldn't have the music. Right.
Right. You couldn't practice medicine.
Most important part. Exactly. Can't practice without it.
Okay.
So anyhow, we got the Ethernet back up through the billing company.
Yeah.
We just took out the firewall because figured that stuff is so antiquated, didn't need it anymore. I mean, who needs a firewall with billing, right?
Oh, you're kidding, sort of, right?
Well, it's the mechanical firewall's gone. Let's put it that way.
What?
Yeah.
They took it out, and you're right up to the modem?
Yeah.
But that billing company is cuckoo crazy, man.
Well, yeah, I know.
they're like, oh, we'll get you back up, Doc, but, you know.
It's your problem, exactly.
Oh, boy.
That's
crazy. It's leaving your house wide open.
I know.
All right.
Well, it's okay because I got one of those Ring video.
Well, whatever you do after you get off the phone with us on Monday, call those guys and say you want a firewall, because not having a firewall to your workstations is crazy.
Pretty much a bad idea, yeah.
It's an awful idea. Those guys should be, I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So it's been going on for a couple of weeks, and I got sick of it, so I tried to redo the wireless access point.
Yeah.
was unsuccessful. So I went out and bought a new wireless access point instead of using the old old router that I was using, which I'd changed.
Yeah.
And now it's the most bizarre thing. Mm. First of all, when we all set back up, one of the computers wouldn't connect on Ethernet. So the company said, okay, you need a new static IP address for that. And so that's what they did. And everybody else was fine, and then that one was fine.
Right.
And then the wireless access point, it will allow one laptop to connect wirelessly to the Internet and one Echo Dot and nothing else.
Nothing else.
And so when I bring in a laptop or anything else, it can see and connect to the wireless, but can't connect to the Internet through the wireless.
Right.
So
it's because you need a proper firewall to hand out IP addresses.
Okay.
It's really the truth.
I believe it.
Whoever's handing, whatever device is handing out IP addresses, which I can't imagine you have anything in there that is.
That's probably just the router.
Well, that the router would have been the firewall unless it was two separate devices.
No, it's two separate devices.
Is it the router that you're getting from the Internet provider?
Yes, the router is the Internet provider.
So, yeah, that little device there is handing out IP addresses, and it's conflicting with statically assigned IP addresses that have already been configured in your network probably years ago or months ago.
It's years ago.
Yeah, so you lost your control when you got rid of your actual firewall, which should be handing out DHCP. So. You need to get a real firewall. Tell these guys they're cuckoo crazy and need to get you a firewall. Or you can call a company like us and we'll take care of it for you because that's not a problem. And then we can configure your wireless properly. But you need a device that will hand out IP cleanly with ranges and not bang into statically assigned computers, which is probably what you have. How many systems do you have in there, Doctor?
It's like five.
Five, okay.
So your replacement device may not even be on the same subnet.
Right.
And that's why you can't get anywhere.
That's probably true.
Yeah. You can't get there from here.
No, I can't get there from here. And I can't work anywhere without the music.
Well, there is something called a radio. You know, in the old days, what we used to do is plug it in.
Oh, and here's the best part.
Yeah.
The best part is I had to change the name of the access to the Echo Dots because I can't use Alexis because everybody knows Alexis. So I'd walk out of a room, and I'd be playing like Benny Goodman. I'd walk back in the room, and the thing was playing John Denver. And I go, what the hell happened here? And the woman goes, oh, girl, she's 80 years old. She goes, well, I like John Denver, and Alexa is my friend.
Oh,
and I'm thinking,
my gosh.
Wait, this is my office and my music.
Wow.
Oh, man, it was tough. She goes, yeah, it's my only friend. And I thought, wow, you got problems.
Yeah, well, it is the times we live in.
Yeah,
jeez.
I have another quick question if you got a chance.
Sure.
I've heard in the past you guys discussing voice over internet phone service.
Yeah.
I've got phone service through our dearly wonderful Frontier.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come to fix my firewall, maybe we can talk about a different phone service.
Yeah, so we offer phone services that deal with I like copper. And I like a local system, right? Mm-hmm. I don't like dealing with it in the cloud because if it goes down or you lose connectivity, you can't make a phone call. So, I'm happy to talk to you about voice over IP. It's still a voice over IP technology that we use, but the actual server is located within your four walls. And guess what? It'll save you gobs of money. I was at a conference in Denver just a few days ago, and these guys were trying to tell us to sell people like you phone systems for $25 per month per handset. If you do the math on a typical 50-user handset, 15 years, you're going to pay nearly $250,000 for a phone system because some ding-a-ling thought it was a good idea to stick it in the cloud. Why would you pay anybody $250,000 for your phone system? How many procedures do you have to do, doctor, to make money, to break even on the phone system some voice over IP guy selling you?
No, yeah, but it's only $25 a month.
Yeah, it's pretty outrageous.
It's crazy, but people sell it and people buy it, and I can't believe it. I can put more money in your pocket.
We have to have a talk.
We do, sir. Give me a ring on Monday.
I will, absolutely.
All right.
Love your show. Now it's going to be even better for me, so thank you so much.
You're welcome, sir. I'll talk to you soon. Right, bye-bye.
Bye.
We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Sherry, Ron, Lori, hang on. One line open for you. We'll be right back after the news here. Everything we've talked about has been posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here until 11 o'clock. And let's get right to your calls. You have a full board here for us, so we appreciate that. Let's go right to Sherry, who's been on the longest next. Hey, Sherry, what's up?
Oh, hi, guys. Last week I called because my laptop of 7 years really was dying.
Uh-huh.
And recommended an HP Envy, which I love.
Yeah.
Absolutely thrilled with it. I have a question, though, about I had Webroot put on it. Now, I don't need Windows Defender also, do I?
No, and most likely it's been disabled by default because you have WebRoot running.
Okay, and it's a better Defender,
yes.
WebRoot? Okay.
Yeah.
And is there anything I have to do? It updates itself? Or
it's going to update itself. It's going to, you know, take care of protecting you automatically. The only thing you got to make sure you do is configure OpenDNS, right?
Right.
And now you'll be in good shape. If you got those two things going, that's the bare minimum.
Okay, and the other thing I wanted to tell people is I love Windows 7, and I wasn't really happy about having to go to Windows 10.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's not that difficult.
It's not. It's
not that bad.
It just changes. Takes people a little bit of time. You wouldn't believe, I mean, we were just talking about somebody in phone systems, and, well, we've been doing phone systems now for our clients for 7 or 8 years, and we had installed a phone system for these really, you know, big, tough junkyard guys, right? They're all these big, burly guys who are on the phone constantly, and we put our new phone system in, and they're scared to death to cut over to them. I had to talk them off the cliff. I'm like, guys, it's a phone system. You've been using a phone your entire life. No, Eric, we don't want to cut over yet. I'm like, guys, the only client ever that did this to us, like, trust me, it's a phone. You pick it up, it has a dial tone, you make calls. They were scared, remember that? They were scared to actually do that. So,
I do understand that if you like a system and you're so used to it, but I have to say it was a piece of cake.
You learn something new.
And I love that laptop, HP Envy 360.
Yeah. I've had good luck with it. My kids have had good luck with it. It's been a good recommendation. And we love HP at Tab, so we've had good luck with them as well.
Yeah, very happy. So thanks again for that recommendation.
You're welcome, Sherry.
Love the program.
All right, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go on to Ron in Terryville next, right? Let's go on. There you are, Ron. How you doing, Ron?
Good, yourself?
Good. You at the fair out there?
Yes, it started last night.
Nice, nice. So what can we do for you?
My problem is with a BIOS update.
Oh, boy.
I've got a Dell computer, and they monitor it, and they told me a couple weeks ago that I needed a BIOS update for some security reason.
All right.
And I've done one before, and it took like a couple minutes, and it was no big deal.
Yeah.
So I started it, and I let it go, and about an hour later, I came back, and it's still going.
Uh-oh.
And now I'm saying something's not right here and stuff.
Is it still? So you started an hour ago this morning?
No, this was 2 weeks ago.
It's been sitting there in the same position?
No, I stopped it.
Hmm.
And I was praying that the computer was still going to be working.
Yeah, because you could have lobotomized it.
Yes, exactly. And everything seems to be fine. But my thing now, I keep getting a thing popping up saying that, you know, they have to update this BIOS. And now
right.
I'm afraid to do it and stuff, you know.
I don't blame you.
And now one of the things is they did, like I said, it was doing a system restore before that. Now, does that have anything to do with the BIOS?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
No, so your operating system is after the BIOS does its thing.
Right.
So
that's not going to help me if I was going to try this again to do a backup and
no.
do something like that.
No, this is how your computer understands it's a computer.
Right.
So
yes,
the BIOS, yes. You know, with the wrong BIOS, it could think it's a microwave. And if it comes
right,
up as a
exactly.
microwave oven, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
I kind of say that facetiously, but that's what I'm saying. The BIOS is the thing that makes the computer a computer. It tells it
yeah.
where its ports are, what it's got for hard drives, what it's got
right.
for... And if you lose that, you're done. So here's the thing. How old's the machine, Ron?
It's about 2 years old.
Okay, so it's a Windows 10 machine probably.
It's a Windows 7, actually. I mean, it's capable. I wanted Windows 7 when I got it.
Oh, I was going to say, is it 2 years old to you, or has it been around the block? It's 2 years old, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it's got plenty of life left in it. So
yes.
They've got a problem with their BIOS update. Do you have any advice, Bob, as far as how we can do it more manually rather than using the tool?
Yeah, I'd look for the part that says, don't notify me this again.
Well, that's what I was thinking. If I could shut that off or something and just live, because my computer's working fine.
There should be a check mark for that somewhere. But
yeah.
If it's working fine, if it ain't broke, don't fix
that's
it.
That's what I do with
well,
my kids' check engine lights.
That was my thought in the first place. That's why I was really nervous. When they started talking about BIOS, I said, I really don't know if I want to do this and stuff.
Yeah. Well, so, okay, that's not bad advice. That's some advice. However, if there's a problem, if there's a security problem. So we just ran into this with HP, believe it or not. There's two methods of updating drivers and hardware with some of these laptops. They have a separate tool you download, or they use these tools
well,
you're using.
Desktop too.
That's fine.
Okay.
Same idea, though. But some of these
right.
companies have more tools designed for professionals like us versus the general folks like you. And right. sometimes using the professional tool does a worse job than the consumer tool. In your case, this consumer tool is not working for you. I would tell you to go to the website for Dell, you know, go to support.dell.com, put your service tag in there, and see if there's an update for the BIOS you can do through that rather okay. than using the tool.
Download, yeah.
That way okay. you can kind of bypass whatever tool is trying to operate and not work right.
Yeah, because it's a thing that they downloaded, I think, that monitors the computer and
yes.
on a weekly basis they scan it and say that this is what you need for different things and stuff.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, they check your bank account, they check what you've been doing online.
Right,
yeah,
exactly. Right.
Yeah, so yeah, in this case, I think you should circumvent that tool and try to update the BIOS on your own by going to support.dell.com and putting in the service tag and seeing if you can download the BIOS that way. Just read the instructions.
Yes.
Because, RTFM.
Yeah, read them. Read them, read them.
Yeah,
read
them. Well, I think I'm going to go Bob's way.
Okay, that is a way. I do that with my kids' check engine
just
lights.
Just get that notification off there and just let it go. Because actually, I'm thinking of upgrading to Windows 10.
Yeah.
Now, and so.
But that doesn't have anything to do with the price of eggs. Because
no, I know that, yes.
Okay.
But I'm hoping it would knock off that little note that keeps popping up. So.
No. A BIOS is the hardware, right? So it's back to,
right.
again, before the operating system. It's a problem with the actual physical hardware where maybe there's a problem with how they control the fans on your computer. Maybe there's a problem with how they talk to the CPU. Maybe there's a problem with how they talk to the CPU fan. Maybe they have a problem with how the
power
RAM integrates.
Management.
Power
right.
management. You, all these things. That BIOS has a flaw, and they're calling it a security flaw, which is even more worrisome. So I'm not sure I would take Bob's advice fully on this, but it is advice. It is a way to go. Ignorance is bliss, right, Bob? Flip it off and you just turn it off and you don't have to worry about it. But I would try to update it if I were you, if there's a security concern.
Okay, and if I do it and it does go bad, then what?
Well, you can send, it's the hate mail. We'll get the hate mail.
I would look to see if you can figure out what version it was trying to install.
Mm. Right.
And then not go for that version because I would guess that there's a flaw with that BIOS update, and they may have a newer one released since you did that.
That's true. And again, back to support.dell.com, you might find a newer version of that BIOS that you can download versus the tool and
just look at the
computer.
Dates.
Yeah, good. Good. That's good. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, I'm glad I called. It's exactly what I thought, though. I mean, I'm glad I didn't continue on.
Well, you're
on
lucky.
My own that way.
You're lucky it came back the way it did, because that.
Yeah, I know. I'm very lucky. Yes.
It doesn't work that way generally.
Most of the time, it would be a brick.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I was afraid of. All right, gentlemen, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Ron.
Take care.
Yeah, bye bye. So, out there, Terryville's got their fair going on. You got the Balloon Fest here in Plainville.
Yeah.
A lot going on.
We're going to that tonight.
Are you going to that tonight?
Yeah.
Last night I was at Mirror Lake checking out the Yukon Marching Band. They did their concert on the lake. You know, as far as the Yukon Athletics Department, it's the band that's been the most consistent. So if you always want to see a tremendously good quality product on a football field, go check out the band. Football team, band, always consistently good, right? Yes, you might pay $11 for a beer to watch the band, but that's what it is. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to your calls. Jacqueline, Mike, and Lori, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Again, the four lines are jam-packed, which is great. I want to thank you guys for joining us on this gorgeous Saturday morning, another rare one here in Connecticut. Let's go to Lori in Deep River next. She's been on the longest. What's going on, Lori?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I called the other day with a question on a first-generation iPad mini that had something must have gone on with the system. We weren't able to connect to the internet in the house.
Right, but other systems could.
All the other systems could, but that one couldn't find the Wi-Fi.
Right.
So we did the reset of the network on the tablet. We eventually, like you suggested, got it out, found a Mickey D's, whatever it was, and it connected without any issue. It found it without even, you know, you open the thing up, and it's like, oh, you have a network available. You know,
it worked.
And it worked.
Okay.
So spend some time on the phone.
With Apple?
No, with Frontier.
Okay.
And after an hour and a half, finally asking for a supervisor because of, you know, well, have you tried this? Yes. Have you tried that? Yes. Have, you know, went through everything. She's trying to give me an IP address to type in 192... you know, the whole nine yards. I'm
gateway.
That's not our network's address. No, you have to use this one. Well,
oh, geez.
That one doesn't work. well, try it on your phone. Try it on this. Try it. It doesn't. That's
right.
Not ours.
Right.
So we get the supervisor on. We're still going around and around. He's trying to get us, and we say, you know what? This is the one that we were given that use. So we just put that in.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it, you know, the network information came up.
Okay.
Well, that's not supposed to be there. Well, it does.
So you put in your 10-dot. You're a 10-dot network, right, from my recollection? You weren't a 192. You were something unique.
Yeah, 192 dot, I don't know, 168. You know, so it's, yeah, 10-dot.
10-dot something, right? Yeah.
Yeah, not 12.
Not 1-dot. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going round and round and round, and they're telling us that absolutely they do not do upgrades to their software without notifying customers first.
Okay.
Okay, well, something happened.
Yeah.
We get off the phone, and it works.
It now works. So you spent an hour and a half with them, and somehow they waved a magic wand, and it works.
They waved a magic wand. They sprinkled the fairy dust on it, and it worked.
But it worked at Mickey D's without anything.
It worked at Mickey D's, yeah, without anything. I mean, you just, you know, open it up, and there it is.
Yeah. Something changed on their end. I can't imagine what they did, but they might
do updates. They don't tell you.
They might have downgraded something, or
they notify everyone when they do an upgrade.
I can't imagine what they did to the device, but
I don't know. I mean, we reset the device. We did everything again, we've done before.
Right.
But
now it works.
Now it works.
Don't touch it.
I'm not planning on it. Just tell them to keep away from it.
No, I know. Logic used to be a thing we could rely on. And as long as you have all the information, you generally can, but in this case.
Fortunately, my husband writes things down, so we knew exactly what to correct. And I even asked her at the beginning of all this, you know, that's not the number we normally use to show us the network information.
Right.
Oh, no, you have to use this one.
Well, that's the problem. They go with the default. They have a little tree they follow, and then if it's outside.
Script. Yeah. They have to follow their script.
If they spoke English as a first language, it would have been great, too.
Well, there's a lot of great texts that don't speak English as a language, but their problem is they don't think out of the box.
No, do not think out of the box.
It's always in the box, and that's why we don't get anywhere a lot of times. So.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad it worked for you, Lori.
She was definitely following a script.
Yes, and that's – she'll get more experience over time. Might take a long time, but she'll get more experience.
Yes.
All right, Lori.
Anywho, thank you very much for your advice.
Yeah.
It worked.
Thanks for the update.
Okay, have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Definitely. The language is a barrier, definitely. It makes it harder to try to get your point across, and they're trying to explain things to them. But their biggest problem is these third world support just doesn't do good with out-of-the-box thinking. If it's not within the same specific config they've seen over and over again, they just don't puzzle it out. They just say, hey, nope, this is what I have to tell you to do.
Reboot.
Even though it makes no sense. We're going to go off to Westfield, New Jersey, and Jacqueline next. Hey, Jacqueline, what's up?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, my pleasure.
So I have a question. I have a HP computer.
Mm-hmm.
I purchased it in 2017.
Okay.
It's 4 gigabytes, 500 GBs of hard drive. But recently, it's been doing updates constantly.
Yeah, Windows 7 or Windows 10?
Windows 10.
Yeah. Yeah, it's welcome to Microsoft.
Screen kept saying, like, you know, we need to collect information. Please hold on. Don't turn off your computer.
Yeah.
With a blue screen with a silly face. But then, on Monday, I couldn't get on the Wi-Fi at all.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my neighbors came by, and he worked with it for a while, and I took off the battery and did all that. But he went into the meta section, and he said that the network card is not getting a signal.
Not getting a signal?
Or it's not getting a strong signal or something.
Hmm. All right, you didn't move your seat. You're in the same place in the office, right?
Yeah, well, it's at home.
It's at home. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it could be that the folks at Microsoft did an update to the driver on that computer and it broke your Wi-Fi card. That makes more sense to me. Do you get Wi-Fi in your home on your smartphones?
I do.
Okay, so we know your Wi-Fi is working. So. Mm-hmm. What make and model of computer do you have?
Let's see.
Is it a Dell? Is it HP?
It's HP.
HP, okay. So we probably need to have you go to HP's website for that specific model of laptop and see if there's a new driver for you to update, because the Windows update probably broke your driver.
Okay.
Do you follow it? There's a driver, a piece of software that runs the hardware. And allows it to work. And it worked fine before Microsoft did their update, right? And now it's broken.
Right.
You're not getting on the internet at all, right?
I do now. He fixed it. He did something, and he said he just took the card out, and it works fine.
So he removed the card from the config and had it rediscovered, most likely.
Yes, that's what he did, yes.
Okay, so your call said no Wi-Fi, so your Wi-Fi's back?
My Wi-Fi is back. It was back when he did it on Monday.
Okay.
But, you know, now I'm fearful that I should just get a new computer and be done with it.
Really? Man, don't go that far.
You know.
No, Microsoft will break your machine every month if they knew that you were going to do that.
Okay.
If this machine is only a couple years old, you said, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, if you want to go out and buy a new machine, who am I to stop you? But don't do it because of this, because the next machine is going to have similar problems, right? Microsoft, if you look at our website at all, you'll see all the problems Microsoft causes with their updates.
Okay.
It's basically what they do. You know, they mm-hmm. let you run Word and Excel, and they break your computer on a regular basis. So they do updates every Tuesday.
Okay.
Constantly. It's called Patch Tuesday. And so if you followed the logic that after your machine stopped working after updates, you should buy a new one, you're going to go broke buying computers.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just keep running your machine and understand that your buddy or your friend solved the problem. And the next time it occurs, some other problem will break. You'll have to troubleshoot it and figure out why they broke your computer on the next update. Or here's what you can do too, Jacqueline. You can go to the configuration. We'll put a link up there. We've done it in the past as to how to delay these updates.
Okay.
And that'll give you a little more stability so that you're not constantly being updated by Microsoft and having problems. So there's links out there that have you follow a step-by-step approach to delaying these major updates that then cause trouble for you. That's what I'd tell you to do. Yeah, don't buy a new computer. It's just spending good money after bad. You're going to have the same problem with the next computer anyway. It's just a different problem.
Yeah, I definitely won't. And can I ask you also, I called Verizon. And I was on a phone for 29 minutes with the guy, and he was going back and forth, and he said that we can definitely fix it. Mm-hmm. It'll just be $15 a month. I said, okay, no, thank you.
What is it with this $15 a month here, $10 here, $25 here? You people are getting crazy with this. So, you should give him something or her something for fixing it.
I sent him a card. I put a Starbucks gift card in it, and so that was great.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Now, let me ask you, my Norton is going to expire in 4 days.
Good.
So I see that on July 18th, you have a link for Webroot.
Yeah, we'd recommend Webroot.
Okay.
Yeah, and do you run OpenDNS too?
I don't.
Oh, come on. Have you listened to the show for a while down there in New Jersey?
I've checked all your podcasts. I mean, I listen to you guys all the time.
All right.
But I have to, I'm on the website, so I have to figure out, because it's a cost for that too, right?
Nope.
Oh.
Webroot is a cost, yes, but OpenDNS, no. You can configure the OpenDNS for your family and your home for free. For a business, there is cost, but for home, it's free.
Okay.
And I highly recommend it. There's plenty of examples of how to configure it, and you'll be much safer if you run and configure it. It's not a thing to buy. It's a thing to configure.
Okay, so maybe my son can figure that out for me.
Yeah, another Starbucks card, man.
Not my son. No way. let's see. So what? I think it's it. I love your show. And I think I really appreciate you guys and your work and your service. So it's great.
Well, we appreciate you listening very much, and hopefully everything will go well for you. Don't buy a new machine yet. Call us and let us know how things go down the line.
Okay. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Imagine if after every Microsoft update, they convinced you to buy a new machine.
A lot of people wouldn't own a computer.
Exactly.
Because they wouldn't be able to afford to buy a new one every time.
They would just go the Jimmy Carter route, paper and pencil. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Mike and Mark, hang on. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about has been posted live by Mike G., over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you go to Facebook and you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, and Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy, we promise there's no facial recognition in there, it might get into your news feed. And if you use Twitter, I have no idea if you have time enough to use Twitter or who has time enough to use Twitter, but if you do use Twitter and you follow us at Tab Computer Sys, it'll get into your Twitter feed as well. We'll be right back.